Hey everyone, today's guest is Davin Bickford. Davin currently serves as a chief operating officer for Wild Smiles Braces and has been with their team since 2006 when he became their second full-time employee. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree from Baylor University, where he focused on economics and real estate at Hinkemer School of Business. His skills in marketing, management, market planning, and entrepreneurship have helped lead Wild Smiles to be the number one selected appliance for early treatment patients in offices offering their products. We're excited that he's here to share some of his marketing insight with us. Davin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Richie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we have a lot to cover today. You have a good bit of information, so we're going to try to get it out of you to help everyone.
Yeah, hopefully we can help. And before we get started, let me just say, you know, I really think what you guys have been doing in this time is awesome. And you know, anything that can give, you know, doctors and their team information to be prepared coming out of this. So you guys have done a great job.
Yeah, we absolutely believe that doctors can have their make their brand stronger, make their team stronger during this kind of retrospective period and come out strong, you know.
Totally. Yeah.
So how did you get started in orthodontics?
Well, so kind of a happenstance type story. You know, you can tell from my bio, I'm an econ number cruncher guy.
Yeah.
And I met a guy named Clark Stevens, and Clark Stevens is an orthodontist in Omaha, Nebraska. And he had come up with this idea of braces with shapes and was working on getting them into the market and shared that with me. And I just, you know, I'm kind of an entrepreneurial spirit kind of a guy. And so I just thought, well, that's, you know, that's a great idea. And so then, after a few conversations, I was going to go into banking.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Natural but, for that degree, right?
Well, you know, this was back when, right after college. And so I was, you know, why not go and see? And so here we are, 14 years later.
Wow. Hear that, right? So how did you get started in marketing? How did the pivot happen there?
Yeah. So, you know, coming out, like I said, entrepreneurial spirit kind of inside. So, the marketing focus has always been something that I kind of gravitated towards. And so when you come on as, you know, as an early employee on essentially a startup,
yeah, for sure.
Everybody's doing everything. And so we started, you know, needing help with marketing internally. And so just kind of started working that process.
That makes sense. All right. So with all that knowledge, in your opinion, what do you think the overall market's going to look like coming out of COVID?
Yeah. So coming out of COVID, like everybody probably agrees that this is something that we've never really gone through before, certainly as an industry. So the quick answer is, you know, I don't think anybody really knows.
Yeah.
However, you know, I've tried to educate myself. I've been talking with people, super smart people all around the industry in different industries, and general consensus as it pertains to orthodontics seems to be that, you know, obviously most of the orthodontists are going to make it through and come back and are going to survive and are going to thrive.
Yeah.
In the long term, especially. The question then becomes is what does the patient pool look like? Mm. So everybody thinks that I've been talking to that, you know, the patient pool is probably going to be a little smaller.
Yeah.
Going to see some of the adults that are doing some of their, you know, cosmetic type treatment that are going to say, hey, you know what, until I get my finances in order, until I'm back to work, until X, you know, I'm going to hold off on my treatment. But what everybody also thinks is that, you know, kids that need treatment, parents are probably going to prioritize their finances and their spending to at least get, you know, the kids that need treatment. They're going to get them treated.
So if the kids are the priority, and I think the focus of what we're talking about are influencers, let's talk about what your definition of an influencer is and kind of tie that together.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, the dictionary describes an influencer as someone who has the capacity to have an effect on the behavior of someone or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So really the way that we look at influencers is that everybody from day one, all the way through, has the ability to influence and can be an influencer. And so we really need to hone into the patients that we have in our practice, their parents, and their spheres of influence, and really see how we can, you know, get those patients to start to have an effect on the people in their sphere of influence.
All right, so if patients are influencers, I mean, why is it so important to view them as influencers?
To view patients as influencers? Well, so I think a lot of times we think about influencers as, you know, these celebrities.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I think of.
Yeah. And so they're getting, you know, some cases they're getting maybe paid to be an influencer, or they're getting some sort of a, you know, product promotion deal or something. But at the end of the day, influencers that truly are authentic, they have to have some buy-in.
Yeah.
Into the experience that they're talking about. And so if we want patients to influence people for our practice,
yeah,
then we need to give them an experience that they can have buy-in and they can have a voice in, and then they can then turn around and take that voice and send it out into their spheres of influence.
Yeah, so the better the experience, the more bought in they are, the more authentic maybe their influence is going to be, the more powerful that influence will be on their friends maybe.
Probably. Not only the better the experience, but the more tailored to their personality, to their view of the world.
Yes.
So you want to have a consistent experience, an experience of excellence, but you also want to have flexibility in that to make sure that each individual person coming into your practice is having a unique experience.
A unique, so very personalized, very unique. Okay.
Yeah. So I actually, that makes me think of, I've been watching your show on and off throughout this.
Thanks.
And you guys had a guy named Eric on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He quoted from somewhere, I missed the reference, but it was a quote that consumers are 10 times more likely to share a unique or personalized experience.
Absolutely.
Right. And so the more unique and the more personalized the experience, the more likely that you're going to turn every patient into an influencer for your practice.
Yeah, I think the whole industry seems to be going, you know, toward in that direction. Custom braces, Invisalign made specifically for you. There's a lot of these solutions that are very custom. Soon everyone will have a custom shirt, you know, custom pants. Why would we get clothes that aren't fitting our body exactly if it's possible, you know?
Well, but so in so many areas, you know, I would say that this idea of customer personalization is everywhere in our society.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think of a car buying experience. The vast majority of people who go in to buy a car, they buy a car based on features and benefits, not technical specificity.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so the same is true with a lot of other purchasing behavior among consumers is, you know, as it pertains to orthodontics, they're coming in with this baseline thought that their experience from a treatment outcome is going to be very similar from one orthodontist to the other, because they have no ability to think through what that looks like. Because they don't, you know, they don't have the vast knowledge that the orthodontist and the team and all of us in the industry know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They just know they want a great smile. So what they're buying is features, benefits, and experience.
Gotcha. Okay. So if we got these influencers, how would you think they increase word of mouth marketing? What are they doing to do that?
Yeah, well, so from a very practical standpoint, you know, let's take the kids first, because I think kids are not often looked at as influencers from a practice level. They're thinking,
yeah, you're probably right about that. Absolutely. But,
you know, kids. So I have a 10-year-old and I have a 7-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, because of the COVID stuff, been able to watch them interact with their friends much more than normal.
Yeah.
And just in this short amount of time, I see them interacting with their friends and having influence. They're talking about their experiences. They're talking about braces. They're talking about school. They're talking about what kind of bike they have.
Yeah.
And so if you give your patients something, going back to what we said earlier, if you give them this unique experience, then they're going to talk about it. And so that's just good old fashioned word of mouth.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Now, kids also have influence on their parents.
Yeah, probably a lot more than we realize, huh?
I think a lot more. You know, the kid might not have influence on their parents whether or not they're going to get braces, but they can certainly have influence on where they feel most comfortable, which orthodontist they feel most comfortable with. And I know just my own family, you know, my wife or myself, when we're with our kids and we're making a decision that involves them, as much as possible, we're asking them how they're feeling about it and what do they think about this, and trying to get their feedback. And so they certainly have an influence on us.
So do you think that change of behaviors increase the shopping of ortho practices? That one reason that's increased over the years?
Yeah. Yeah. So shopping, you know, I don't have any statistics that I can cite on hand, but I do know that over the past 5 years, we've seen the amount of people shopping for their orthodontist has increased significantly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even just a few years ago, 5 years ago, you know, they were in with the dentist. The dentist said, hey, you know, I think it's time for Johnny to get braces. And here's an orthodontist I recommend. Well, parents go to the orthodontist, they get set up. Well, now, okay, the dentist says Johnny needs braces, but what does mom do? She probably still gets a referral from the dentist.
Yeah. But
she also Googles orthodontists in my community, and she also goes on Facebook and does a poll of her friends. Hey, who's got kids in braces? Where do you go? And they share in their recommendations the reasons why they go. So, you know, we did that too. When our 10-year-old went in for braces a couple of years ago, and you know, the things that we saw from people coming back was they weren't sharing technical stuff. They were sharing, we love this practice because X. And it had to do with things, and it had to do with features and benefits.
Yeah, I bet that's a big revelation to a lot of people, because we probably think of it as all these specifications. I mean, that's what how I buy a car, but then again, my dad has been a mechanic for 30 years. So the way I view the whole process is very different than the mainstream. I think you're very right about that.
Right. Yeah. So with the orthodontist that we work with, you know, they're the mechanic, right? They know all the inner workings of the orthodontic practice and the treatment modalities and all of that. The average consumer doesn't have that knowledge. And so, you know, when we take a step back and we really work with our clients to help take a step back and say, hey, you know, what does it look like from someone who knows very little about orthodontics, and what terms are they using? How can they turn around and speak to their experience here?
Absolutely. Yeah, I advise that even when you're doing keyword research, if you're going to do your own search engine optimization, it's so important to try to go look through the eyes of your potential customer, the potential patient, because they're using their words. They're not using your words. You know, they're asking questions from their point of view, et cetera. You have to get into that person's head if you want to really be successful with a marketing campaign.
Yeah, I mean, you guys obviously know, you know, better than anybody in terms of all the different ways that you can communicate with patients and the best ways to do it. You know, when we really encourage our doctors to think about themselves and the parents and the kids in a couple different ways. Mm-hmm. So first of all, if we're honest, and we're saying, okay, patient care and patient experiences is a must, you know, having a good experience, having a good treatment outcome. You know, the goal of the orthodontist is to increase case acceptance. They want to have more patients, for the most part.
Yeah.
More patients starting in their practice.
Absolutely.
So they're coming at it from that point of view. Mom is coming, or dad is coming from the point of view of, we want our kid to have good treatment, and we want it to be enjoyable for them. We want it to be fun for them. We want them to come out of this better.
Yeah.
Right. So they're worried about their kid and how their kid is going to be treated, both on a personal level and on the orthodontic level. But then the kid often gets left out of the conversation. The kid is coming to it as, they just want to be part of the experience. They want to have a voice. They want to, okay, I don't get a choice. Mom's going to make me get braces. But I want some say in something.
That makes sense.
We can really encourage our clients to come to it from that point of view, not only in their office, but in their marketing. I think that goes a long way in helping them, you know, see it from the other perspective.
Okay. So why would you say patients talk about doctor team members treatment outside of the office? What's driving them to do that? Just that great experience. It's like, and they have that equity. They have that, they're kind of invested.
Right. Yeah. So here's the deal. People talk about your practice outside of your practice for two main reasons. They want to complain.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Or they had an exceedingly good experience, or a better than expected experience, or a better than expected treatment outcome.
Yeah, so if it's exactly as expected, nothing happens, right? Everyone just
happens. So they go in, they meet them, everybody's nice, they have some coffee in the waiting room, they go in, the doctor comes in, spends a few minutes with them, tells them about the treatment, they get, you know, they get the braces on, they leave. As expected experience, something that people are not probably, for the most part, going to talk about in great detail outside of their immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you give someone an experience that they enjoy, and those patients are like wildfire. So the why, I mean, why do we want to focus on patients as influencers? Why do we want to focus on that? Is number one, it doesn't cost anything. It costs you whatever it costs to make the experience great, which in most cases is very, very little.
Yeah.
Mostly just personal touch.
So this could really reduce your patient acquisition costs, just this technique, this strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that Kane Waters is a company that operates in the orthodontic industry, and they provide services to orthodontists on the financial level. They offer a lot of different things, but they came out with some numbers within the last couple of years. They said, okay, so if your practice is $1.5 million or more in revenue,
mm-hmm.
your patient acquisition cost is 18% lower than a smaller practice. And the average cost of acquiring a new patient is about $90.
Interesting. Okay.
According to their numbers.
Yeah.
We take that and we say, hey, why was the big practice, why were their patient acquisition costs lower by 18%? Well, Kane Waters said that it's because those practices have a larger patient base.
Yeah.
And have more word of mouth referrals, which decreases patient acquisition cost.
Oh yeah, word of mouth is always the most powerful.
It's powerful
driver of new patients, of course.
Well, and I think about, so sometimes doctors that we work with have a hard time understanding how word of mouth is as powerful as it is. I don't know if you see that with your clients, but
yeah, I can see it's hard to measure. So you know, it's kind of out there. It feels abstract, ethereal. Yeah.
But we look at our. So if you look at industry data. From put out by the AAO and the AJODO, the journal, the clinical journal, they provide vendors with a report every year of where doctors get their their information from, and what is the most credible source.
Oh yeah, I'd love to see that.
By far, is another doctor.
Yeah.
And that's word of mouth.
Absolutely.
So I we use that example with our clients a lot, just to say, hey, you know, it's true in your experience with your practice. So it's absolutely true with your patients and their experience.
Yeah, that's a great way to tie a great experience to word of mouth to decrease patient acquisition costs. I mean, when you can do that, you really see the value of it right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then the question is, well, how can a practice that's less than $1.5 million in revenue, one of the smaller practices, how can they decrease their patient acquisition cost? Well, focus on the experience, offer things in the practice that patients want to talk about, and offer this experience, and you increase your word of mouth, decrease customer acquisition cost, and you close the gap, but as a small practice.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about really that moment when someone's just a lead, a potential patient, to a start. What do you think of the kind of messaging that's needed to get them over the fence to become a start?
Yeah. So, you know, it goes back to kind of what we were talking about earlier with, you know, the difference between features and benefits and the difference between technical conversation. I mean, there is some level of technical conversation, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It has to happen in the new patient appointment. But they are buying features, benefits, and experiences. And so it starts with them walking through the door and someone saying something nice to them. Hey, welcome to our practice. Hmm. It starts with someone using their name. It starts with the practice being a comfortable environment to be in. And then that new patient appointment is oftentimes a make it or break it time.
Yeah.
And tying in things and communication and communicating your services in a way that patients easily understand, both at the kid level and at the parent level.
Yeah, and that's so difficult. We often will set up email automations for the doctors that reiterate the very points that they went over in that first meeting, because we know that as soon as someone gets glazed over, the rest, whatever you said after that, it's done. Like, they didn't hear it. It didn't enter their brain.
Oh,
I mean,
totally. I go home, you know, I'll have a conversation. Let's say my wife knows I'm going to have this conversation. So I'll get home and she'll say, well, how did that conversation go? And I'll say, well, my gosh, I don't know. And you got to keep reiterating the information. Absolutely. And they need to see it. You know, they say the average person needs to see something 7 times before they're aware of it. Right. I mean, those are marketing.
Oh, absolutely. That's advertising 101. Right.
And then you get into, okay, well, what does it take to get someone to act? Well, they have to see the information at least 15 times.
15 times. Yeah.
And that's the number. So, you know, how do you do that in the patient's language over and over again?
Yeah, it is challenging. We communicate with them in all different ways, the ways that they care about, you know, the things we see. Okay. So how would you say some modalities and appliances can ultimately influence their decision to start?
Yeah. Well, so the modalities of treatment really influence the doctor who is best able to communicate the reason for the modality or the idea behind the treatment in a way that the patient can easily understand. Mm-hmm. To the extent that they can do that well, the doctor wins. That doctor will win the patient. Also, if you can have the ability to offer, you brought up appliances, so there are, from our perspective, there are 4 categories of appliance offerings in general in terms of bonded bracket appliances.
Sure.
So you have traditional metal braces, still by far and away the most used product in the industry. Then you have clear braces. And then you have the category of designer braces, which is where we fit in. Braces.
Yeah.
And then you have clear aligners. It's important for practices to know that those categories speak to a different segment of the market. But you want to make sure you're offering appliances and you're promoting those appliances on your website and your social media platforms, in all forms of marketing, that you're promoting those to the different constituents in your community that, that you want to bring in as a client.
Yeah, and they're all going to have different messaging depending on, you know, these different people are buyer personas. It's not just demographic. It's where do they get their information? What do they care about? Their pains or goals, et cetera.
Right. So then you set up those buyer personas, yeah. Right? And then you say, okay, well, these buyer personas get this information from TikTok or from social media in general, let's say, or, you know, whatever, different platforms. Well, not only do you have to market on those platforms, but you have to make sure that what you're communicating on those platforms is speaking effectively to the people that are using those platforms.
Absolutely. I mean, that's very critical.
You're not going to advertise, for example, you're not going to advertise Wild Smiles braces in a newspaper.
Yeah. Probably not hitting the right target. Yeah.
TikTok, Instagram, you know, Twitter, Facebook, you're hitting the moms, the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snapchats, et cetera. That makes sense.
Endless. We could go on and we could have an hour talking about just the social media platforms.
And it keeps changing like constantly over and over again.
Every day.
All right. So why do you think you have to focus your campaigns on these, on key differentiators? Let's talk about differentiators. Why is that important for a practice?
Right. Well, so, you know, what differentiates an orthodontic practice, is again, the features and the benefits and the experience, because for the most part,
yeah,
consumers come in with the expectation, if we're setting expectations, that they're going to get a good treatment outcome. So things that you can use to speak to the consumers,
yeah,
in their language is really what is differentiating you. So, you know, the one example that people hear all the time is, you know, offering coffee in the office. You know, 5 years ago, not everybody offered coffee in their office, or they just offered a coffee pot. But, you know, we have customers that they have a barista on staff.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't heard that. What?
And so, you know,
okay.
One of their front desk people is a barista.
Yeah. But that's a great idea.
So when they're dual function, but when, you know, they keep the, and they've got the espresso, I mean, it looks like a Starbucks in there, you know? So now, you know, maybe in some communities that doesn't differentiate you anymore. So now they got to have the barista and make it look like Starbucks, you know, differentiate. But so those are the kinds of things that we really encourage our clients to look at, and the doctors that we work with to look at as differentiators.
And it's important that whatever they are, the customer values them. Their perception, there has to be a perception of value from the customer's point of view. That's, if it, they don't have that, then it's pointless. You know?
We have to remember, so we've got a good friend of mine, also an orthodontist, Neil Kravitz, out in Chantilly, Virginia, is where, yeah, he used to give a presentation that would say, young is better than old, near is better than far, and girls are better than boys.
Okay.
You know, you want to attract a female patient that's young and that lives near your practice. Ideally, because that patient profile will talk about their experience on a totally different level than anybody else. And so to get to your point about, you know, it has to be a value. So you need to be really focusing in on these patient personas that you have. And what kind of practice do you want to have? What kind of patient base do you want to build? And make sure that you're speaking the language of those patients. Because we have to remember, 75% of orthodontic patients are kids. And 100% of orthodontists are not kids, right?
Yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
So we need to make sure that as adults, as professionals, that we're taking a step back and saying, okay, what does my patient profile and what kind of patient profile benefits my practice the best? You know, where am I going to get the most new patient acquisition?
That makes sense, of course. And I think a lot of practices aren't even sure what their differentiators might be right now, or they might think, you know, they might say it's something, but are they really invested in it? If customer service is their differentiator, what are they doing to make sure it actually is during the experience of the patient?
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, Richie, because that's one thing that we talk with our clients about a lot is, you know, nothing can destroy a business faster than saying you have great customer service or a great experience or X, and set the expectation up here. Mm-hmm. The customer comes in, has a subpar experience, probably because you've inflated it.
Yeah.
That is not good for your business. So if you're going to say you do these things, you have to deliver. You have to.
I mean, especially in the world of Google reviews, Facebook reviews, Yelp. I mean, one bad month and all of a sudden your patients are cut in half and you don't know why.
Absolutely.
You know? All right, so obviously Wild Smiles is a cool differentiator. What is it? Describe it to everyone if they haven't heard of you.
Yeah, so Wild Smiles is pretty simple to explain, actually. I mean, we take a traditional mini-twin orthodontic bracket.
Yeah.
Works exactly the same as most, if not all, orthodontic brackets that are mini-twins. You know, it's a technology that has been around for a long time. And we've just taken the pad, and instead of a square-shaped pad, we put a different shape on it. And then we offer that in only 6 brackets per patient. So a lot of patients that use Wild Smiles are, you know, or a lot of doctors use Wild Smiles on early treatment patients. So they're only bonding them on 4 teeth.
Yeah.
So the implementation into a practice is super simple. And it doesn't change anything about, you know, the treatment outcome. It doesn't change anything about the way that the doctor practices. We offer it in prescriptions and slot sizes that the doctor uses, and just plug ours in on those 6 teeth or 4 teeth.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it really serves as a differentiator in more than one way. It's a product, but also the customer experience is changing. Let's talk about that a little bit. How does it function in both?
Right, yeah. So the differentiator, I think, is fairly self-explanatory. You know, it's something that if we're looking at those 4 buckets of appliance offerings, yeah, you know, Wild Smiles ticks one of those buckets. And so from a differentiator, not everybody has all 4 buckets. Different, offer all 4 buckets that are speaking to the entirety of the market.
That makes sense. From
an experience standpoint, going back to, you know, the voice that gets lost in a lot of the conversation about, you know, the way of practice, it's an experience, is the voice of the kid. I mean, it's in there, but they don't spend a lot of time. They spend, from my experience and the customers we work with, they spend more time thinking about the viewpoint of the mom than they do the viewpoint of the kid when it comes to offerings and stuff like this. And so it goes back to the kid, and you know, what they want is they just want a voice in the experience. They just want to feel part of the treatment. And so Wild Smiles is something that they can come in, they have to have braces because mom's telling them, but it speaks to their experience. And you better believe that a kid comes in and can choose Heart Stars footballs, you know, they can choose from different sports teams that they might follow. That's an experience that kid is going to talk about.
Yeah, so from the kid's point of view, that's like a huge benefit.
Huge. And like I said, watching my girls in this time of lockdown, when, you know, we're social distancing, but we're seeing, you know, friends and standing from across the street and that kind of stuff. And they're telling they're telling them. So I can just imagine on the playground at school when they're less than 6 feet apart, you know, everything. And so, so this is definitely a piece of I that you have to focus on.
And it lets them have some self-expression too, which is nice for a kid. You know, it's that customized experience we were talking about, personalized experience.
Right. I mean, in almost every industry that we interacted as consumers, there's an opportunity for personalization and customization. And I want to also point out the difference between personalization and customization.
Yeah. Okay.
So customization is making something that fits you only. Like, so a custom shirt is going to, I'm going to take my measurements and I'm going to have a tailor make a shirt that fits my measurements perfectly.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's customization. Personalization is offering something that people can identify with.
Good point. Yeah.
And so Wild Smiles is not a custom bracket. It's a personalized bracket where we're allowing that patient to have a unique experience based on what they like. So if they play soccer, they can get soccer balls. If they play football, they can get footballs.
Gotcha. So what is the best clinical application for Wild Smiles, if someone's interested?
Yeah, so the quick answer is, you know, any patient that's getting braces can get Wild Smiles. I mean, it fits into the treatment modality that's most used by doctors, which is, you know, bonded mini twin brackets.
Yeah.
Okay. That said, the best clinical application is an early treatment phase one situation where you're bonding, you know, you're doing some easy alignment, but it's less about it's an easy case or an easy alignment or whatever on the technical side. It's more about because that patient is going to go out and they're going to talk about their experience. That patient is going to be excited rather than frustrated with their experience. They're going to tell their parents, and then the parents will also follow suit in talking about that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are there any other benefits for the doctor by using this, using Wild Smiles?
Yeah, so, you know, tons of benefits for the practice. I mean, the obvious one of what we've been talking about a little bit here is the patient experience side of things. But the benefit to the doctor is we offer it in a couple different slot sizes and different prescriptions. So it's easy to implement. Bracket price, there's not a price difference in any large way. When you look at the average of all the treatments out there, the price per bracket, it's not an increase in cost.
Yeah.
We did a study a few years ago and found that the average orthodontist that we work with spends more on their coffee bar in a year than they do on implementing Wild Smiles.
The coffee bar, huh?
Coffee bar. So there's a number of different the levels. You know, another benefit would be that, you know, it doesn't add any time. I mean, when the doctor gets to the chair to bond the brackets, oftentimes the brackets are already laid out on a tray for them. No different with Wild Smiles. You just, you just have your team lay them out and you're ready to bond.
Gotcha. All right. So I heard there's something new going on that's coming. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So this has been years in the making and we're really excited about it because of the experience piece that we've talked about.
Yeah.
Right. So what we have coming this summer is we have an exclusive partnership with Disney to make braces and other products.
Yeah. Disney. So,
I'm not at liberty to talk in a lot of detail about what's coming because we do have some more announcements coming as we get closer to the summer.
Yeah.
Also, trying to evaluate exactly where things are with COVID and making sure that, we're really responding to the market and meeting them where they're at, because we know that doctors are going to come out of this and their heads are going to be in how do I organize my practice, right?
Yeah.
So we'll be sharing more information, but what's really cool and what I am most excited about the Disney partnership is the experience piece. We're gonna be able to allow orthodontists to bring this Disney experience to the patient level in their practice.
Yeah, that's huge.
Right? I mean, where you got to go to a Disney park, spend thousands of dollars to go on vacation to get the Disney experience. Now, in orthodontics, doctors are going to be able to offer this Disney experience. And we're offering not just brackets. There's going to be other items, other products that are going to fold to immerse the patient that wants the Disney experience. They'll be immersed in that throughout their entire time in treatment, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, talk about a differentiator, being able to just tie your practice at all to the Disney brand. I mean, anything that you can tie to a Disney brand is going to help elevate its perception.
It works very, very much like our college brands, you know, in communities or in states where there's a practice that, you know, where there's a big college team there, to the extent that they can, you know, offer things that tie in with that brand, it's beneficial, hugely beneficial to their practice. And so the same is true with Disney, you know, on a much larger scale, because that's a international brand. We, in preparation for it, Disney shared some numbers. They have 100% brand recognition in the United States and Canada.
100%. Yeah, of course, that makes sense. But imagine how amazing that statistic is. I mean,
you go into Walmart or Target and go down the toy aisle, and half of it is Disney products.
Yeah, I mean, geez, a kid can't be more than 6 months old to know what it is.
Oh yeah, I've seen like those little mobiles that you put on your baby's crib.
Yeah,
you know, they have one with all the Disney characters. So that's day one they get indoctrinated.
That's funny. All right. So if a doctor wants to get started, what does it look like? How did they get started?
Yeah. So we try to make it super simple with Wild Smiles. So what I would just suggest is, I don't typically do this, Richie. Typically, you know, you can go to our website and get information there, fill out some forms and get in contact with you. But I would say for your audience, I'm just going to give you my email and my phone number. And so, I would just say they email me at Davin, which is DAVIN @wildsmilesbraces.com.
Awesome.
And then, they can also, if email is too old school and you prefer, you know, texting, you can call or text me and my number, it'll go direct to me. No switchboards, no nothing. You can just get direct to me. It's 402-677-3311.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's
right.
How you
do it. Yeah. Thanks. So, all right. So if someone's ready to go, they're doing it, what does the onboarding look like? What does the process look like for someone?
Yeah. So, again, we're really big on making sure that the experience is intact. So not just at the customer level, but at the doctor level.
Yeah.
So, what we want to do is we want to get on a conversation with you, get on a phone call. We want to learn about your practice. We want to learn about where you're at, what your needs are, how Wild Smiles can help in your perfect situation, in your specific situation.
Yeah.
And then we're going to work you as the doctor and some of your key team members, the treatment coordinator, maybe the lead clinical person. We're going to lead them through some training. Sounds a little more formal than maybe it actually is, but
yeah.
Video instruction and a team call to help them understand how to integrate Wild Smiles. We help with some scripting and some ideas on the best practices. So we really want to make sure that everybody is offering this baseline experience.
Yeah, and you even help Mark with marketing the product too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So so we have a team of people that create content, and with all this Disney stuff that's coming out, part of what we'll be announcing is we're taking that marketing piece to another level in terms of the support that we're going to offer our clients. And so we help with of course, in-office stuff, but also social media, website, web pages, and content. Because, you know, doctors are always looking for content that they can put out there. And so we try to help them with that.
Yeah, and I can say a few of our clients use your product, and it was very helpful to have that marketing help, even if you're working with an agency like us, because, you know, you guys know what messaging works. You have all the imagery, so we can put it all, make the campaign. It's so much easier to make a campaign when you have the content to do so. So that definitely was made a big difference for us.
Right. Yeah, well, good. I'm glad. I mean, that's our whole goal, is we want to make it as streamlined as possible. And we want, because at the end of the day, you know, we're focused on those things that we talked about with the doctors, or that I talked about earlier. The doctor wants to increase patients. So that's from the doctor perspective, that's what we're trying to help them do. We're also trying to communicate to the parent and the kid on the level that they can, and help the doctor communicate that.
Absolutely. Great experiences, real differentiators. I think it's a win. Well, Davin, thank you so much for your time. It was really informative. Had a good time.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, take it easy. Stay safe out there.
Bye-bye.